I had a very wonderful spiritual experience this week. We were saying goodbye to Aunt Heather, my oldest daughter. I had my little 5-year-old kindergarten girl in my lap, and she loves Aunt Heather. And she was saying goodbye to Aunt Heather. And she said, "Papa, I miss Aunt Heather." I said, I know. We waved goodbye as she drove down the driveway. And she said, "Papa, is she coming back soon?" I said, "She's coming back real soon." And she looked at her little finger that had a Band-Aid on it and said, "Papa, I've got to get all better. I've got to get ready for my Aunt Heather when she comes back." I thought, "Oh, exactly. Exactly, little one." She snuggled up to me and we hugged together. I said, "That's what we have to do. We have to get ready because Jesus is coming back soon." So we've got to be ready, dear ones. May we be God's people and may He fit us and may we make things right in our heart today so that we can be ready when Jesus comes back. Oh, dear ones, may we sing our theme song. Think of our theme song as Christians, believers in the Bible, believers in Jesus, and people that are looking for the Savior to return. Let's sing our song together. Lift up the trumpets and loud let them ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Oh, thank you so much. You know what? Thank you for that. May we be fit by God's mercies in our lives, fit for the kingdom. May God, we let God change our lives and humble us so that we can be His people. God bless you. God bless you. Will you pray with me? Let's pray as we start. Dear Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here together. This beautiful sanctuary. Thank you so much for each one here. And Father, I just want to ask that you prepare our hearts. So as we surrender, may we be changed by your wonderful gospel truth into your wonderful love. And let us be your family so we can be home with you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful church. God bless you all. It is wonderful. You know, it's not every church that a wheelchair guy gets a 2-door entrance. So I want to thank Charles. I want to thank Irvin for opening it. This is the most welcoming church. I just love coming in. They get the both doors open for me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your welcoming. And what a beautiful. Ruth, thank you for the service. And when Austin and oh, it's just so when you sing together, thank you. And we'll remember Tuesday, as you have your procedure. And I hope that the pain can be relieved until Jesus can make us new. Amen. Amen. God bless us. Thank you so much for the warm welcome and thank you for this beautiful sanctuary. My favorite part of all the church service is the prayers and praise, the requests, and thank you for that. We remember each of your praise with each of your heart as we're, and the silent requests, I know there's so many, as we come to a sanctuary to worship God, there's so much in our hearts that happened during the week, and so we have worries and stress and anxieties, I know, and thank you for the requests and prayer, and we lift up all the prayer and the spoken requests. We remember those. So God bless us as we worship Him together. Amen. Amen. So wonderful to be here. Thank you. We love coming out to Mount Pleasant. It's just beautiful. And Julie at the piano, Charles, and the boys, you know, special thank you to our sound team. Charles and the boys, because, you know, as we present the gospel, it's hard to accept it when you can't hear it. You know, so thank you, Charles and the boys. And I finally got them down. Austin, Aaron, and Adam. The boys. So, yeah, I know we got them down. So they bless their hearts and they're just so helpful. And Julie at the piano and Charles. So we just are so thankful for our families and to be here together. So God bless us. You know, my little one that I was talking about that missed Aunt Heather. And I got to get ready because Aunt Heather's coming back. We got to get ready for Jesus coming back. Well, we went to the pumpkin patch this last week. The pumpkin patch fall festival. We were going along the trail looking at the pumpkins and all. As we got down the farther, went down the hill and went into the shade of the trees, they, as oftentimes retail businesses kind of do, is they cater to the, you know, the Halloween scariness. And they had a lot of that around, you know. And my little Finley, my little 5-year-old kindergartner, said, "Papa, we don't listen to the devil. Halloween is of the devil. We don't listen to the Baba. We listen to Jesus." I said, I'm just going to sit down and let you talk. I mean, yeah, everybody needs a five-year-old, don't they? I know. We had to have a little food. So I, exactly, food, that's right. So as we went down the trail, we said, don't look. We're only going to listen to Jesus. And we got past that part and back into the pumpkin part. It was wonderful. But what a lesson. You know, are we listening to this, the devil? You know, you look in our hearts today, and sometimes it's, we kind of fall into that, don't we? We kind of fall into that temptation of listening to the world and the Babylon and the anti. And we kind of fall, unless we make an intentional decision to follow Jesus and listen to Jesus and be on his side, we're going to kind of be tied into the darkness. So, you know, maybe we make that decision, especially to this time of year, as that's such a prevalent push, that Halloween darkness, that we put it, that we are going to follow Jesus. We're going to decide to follow Jesus. We're going to listen to our Savior. Make an intentional decision. May God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And, you know, as we look at our studies today, if you remember last time we were together, which I don't expect you to, but we touched on this just briefly. This is part of one of my most favorite sections of Old Testament, is this God's answer to Solomon's prayer. Now, we're doing a series out in Shreveport on James. And we have this segment of James 4:7. And last week we did the verse 7 of chapter 4, submit your heart to the Lord, therefore resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We've been talking about submission. And whenever we talk about that submission idea and Satan that's fleeing not from us but from Christ in us, Colossians 1:27. So we can't resist the devil without Jesus in us. So we resist God, Christ comes in us through our surrender. The devil flees because he's not fleeing us. He wants to devour us, doesn't he? Peter says he wants to eat us up like a lion. No, but Satan flees from Christ in us, doesn't he? May Christ be in us. May we make the decision to have Jesus Christ in our heart. So Satan can flee. But we were talking about that subjection, that submits yourself to the Lord. And look, I always come back to this segment that we read today, the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:12-14. And I just love this section. If we can just paint the picture a little bit, Solomon is dedicating the big, beautiful temple in Israel, Jerusalem. The big, beautiful Jewish temple. And it was a mighty, mighty temple. And so he was dedicated. So he was dedicated. And in chapter 6, he has the prayer. And he prays this prayer. What a king King Solomon must have been. He prayed this pleading prayer for his people. Because all around Jerusalem and all around the Jewish nation was the Halloween, the devil, the darkness, all the cultures of the pagan worship, and the Israelites, you know, they would go off into these little areas and get influenced. Unless they made their decision to follow Jesus, they'd be influenced by all the surrounding Halloween paganism of the nations. And Solomon prayed. Remember in chapter 6? Of 2 Chronicles, if my people who've gone away, if they choose to come back, dear God, will you take them back? Will you take them? Solomon was pleading for his people. What a pleading prayer. Do we need family members we pray that way for? You know, family members have gone away. Our hearts, we've gone away. Dear God, will you take me back? And then, chapter 7, as soon as he finished his prayer, God accepted the prayer, consumed the offering, remember, and the great fire on the offering, and then they had the feast. 7 days of feasting. Oh, it must have been quite a party. Great, all the nations around, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing to read about. And then the nation, and finally, on the 8th day, Solomon called all the folk together. Oh, and they were probably full and tired of feasting and celebrating the temple and the nation. And he called them together and he said, solemn. It was a solemn assembly. I think because they realized they had all the cleanup they had to do. No, but they had the solemn. And Solomon said, okay, now the temple is dedicated. Now God has accepted our sacrifice. Now we've feasted, we've celebrated, we praised the Lord. Now you may go back to your home. Kind of like after potluck. You may go back now to your home. We're feasted, we're comfortable, we're happy. Now go back to your home. And they went back to their home, happy and merry in heart. Isn't that beautiful? Something about praising the Lord and celebrating in prayer, It gives us merriness of heart. That's something we need these days, a merry heart. Don't we get stressed? Don't we get anxious? Don't we get frustrated? We can get angry. And dear ones, there's a whole epidemic of sadness in our schools and the school counselors, elementary and high school. And we have our young folks back there. Bless their hearts. We're so grateful for your service. Thank you, guys, for your offering of being our deacons. Thank you. But a whole epidemic of sadness. And school counselors tell us in the journals that it's becoming almost epidemic because the students, elementary and high school, are not finding any meaning. They're not merry in heart. They're sad. And that sadness leads to depression. That depression then leads horribly, tragically, then to the thought of them taking their life. So it's a horrible thing. So to have a merry in heart, does it come from praising God? You know, part of praise, part of prayer. For 7 days they praised God. And then Solomon went home. They went home and Solomon was exhausted. And verse 12, we get, Solomon fell down to sleep. And God answered his prayer in the dream. I just enjoy that so much, that God answered his prayer in his dream. He said, I've heard your prayer, Solomon. I've heard your prayer. And I've chosen this place to be my home, a place of sacrifice. And then he said, he answered prayer. So, but if my people have gone away and they've gone away, well, will you take them back? And here's God's answer. If we have family members, if we've gone away from God, dear one, this is our prayer. God is answering the prayer with his mighty, mighty solution of love. And here it is, if my people who are called by my name, my people, they've broken the covenant, they've gone away, and they're God's people called by his name, dear one, can we not then accept people? God does. Is it hard for us to... that person doesn't believe like us. And we're quick to criticize or condemn or judge, isn't it? God said, if my people are called by my name, if they would... And he goes four things. And we touched on this last time. I don't know if you remember. But this idea of humble themselves, pray, connect, seek my face, and turn from evil ways. Or surrender their will to God. If my people will surrender their will to God, to me, I will then. Do you want? Isn't that beautiful? I will then. If we surrender our will to God, God will then. What? And he gives us the constructs of grace right here. The constructs of grace. I will forgive them. I will heal them. I will restore them back into the image that I've called by my name. I will call them back to my people. They'll be my family again. If we surrender and submit our life to God, God will have his family again. We'll be merry in heart. We'll be his family. And we'll be ready to go home with him, dear one. Are we needing today to do those things that God asks us to? Forgive. Yeah. Can we humble ourselves? Can we pray for connection? And dear ones, I want to come back to that humble. Isn't that a hard thing to do these days? Humble ourselves. Because we got to survive. We got to conquer. We got to be victorious. Where did that come from? In God's world, we conquer through surrender, don't we? We are victorious through submission. Just the opposite of the world's way. And don't sports. I love sports. I love sports. I grew up in Los Angeles with all my boys. Irving, I know it. Right there. I love sports. But doesn't sports give us, you have to be so intentional on, they give us that idea of victory, conquest, putting down so I can be on top. That whole idea. And I love sports. I love touchdowns and field goals and three-point play. I just love it all. Hockey, even. I love hockey. I don't know how to ice skate, but I love hockey. don't we need to be intentional and careful? Because God has to be victorious in spiritual sense is to be the loser, the lost one, the last one. The loser in the world's eyes, the winner in God's eyes. To be victorious is to be surrendered, isn't it? So this idea of submission. And we touched on that in Shreveport last week. They submit to the Lord and give your heart to Him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They say, and this passage, submission. Humble yourselves and pray. Seek His face and turn from evil. This is all I submit your heart. And what I'd like to share with you as we go through three life lessons. Three lessons, but we need to make an intentional decision first. And you know, my little 5-year-old, my little kindergarten, had a open house at her school. And she's in kindergarten now. So that's way back in the back of the school. So we went in, and it was a crowded parents and students and grandparents and everybody that was proud of their little one was there at the school. Cars everywhere, get your way. Everybody going in. We went in the front door, and there's people everywhere coming in, going out. Teachers. I mean, it was just a very full house, packed full of. And I'm in a wheelchair. I'm way down here, so I have no idea what to do. But I made a decision. I made a decision right then as I went into the doors with all the people coming in and out and the teachers. And I said, okay, I am gonna follow the ponytail. Because this is her school, this is her day, she knows where to go. So as we went through all the halls, went down the aisle, went down the hall, the levels and all, I was following that ponytail because she knew where to go. So I went down, finally got down that lower level, and I almost lost her, they're running all the crowds, I almost lost her. No, I'm going to follow Finley, because she knows where she is. She turned left, the door opened, the teacher came out, she went in, we went in, oh, it was peaceful, restful. Just the teacher, oh, and us. It's just so peaceful in there. And I just made that decision. I thought, oh, I'm going to follow Finley because she knows the way. Dear ones, can that be our decision today as we open our scripture? May we follow Jesus because He knows the way. John 14:6 says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus knows the way through your difficulty right now. What you're facing right now, that is your heart breaking for some reason? God knows the way through that. If you're faced with maybe some unbelief or discouragement, God knows the way through that issue. God knows the way through our sadnesses. He knows the way through our relational issues. He knows the way through our jobs, our frustration. He knows the way through the end time of trouble. How are we going to get through when Sunday is mandated and Sabbath is prohibited? When there's a death decree for those that are called extremists and terrorists? Those that keep the Sabbath, they keep the truth of God, they keep the love of God. How are we going to get through that? God knows the way. Amen. God knows the way. When there's a time of trouble that's never been before, we can't buy or sell, and everything's falling apart, and it's dark, and everything is just rough, and they're pointing the guns right at us because we're standing for truth. How are we going to get through that? Jesus knows the way. Amen. May we make a decision right now as family. Like I followed my little Finley. I followed that ponytail. I got right to that classroom. May we follow our Jesus. Amen. Because He knows the way. Amen. How are we going to get through these end times, as prophecy unfolds, as we know in the news and we know what's happening around us, as the Sunday law is becoming closer to be mandated and Sabbath to prohibited and the Sunday law, and we're looking more and more like terrorists and extremists. How are we going to get through? Jesus knows the way. Amen. May we follow Him. May we follow Him. So we look at our scripture today in 2 Chronicles, and we look at that idea of submit. James 4:7, submit yourself. And that's such a hard, hard thing to do as a human nature. But you know what? Solomon, and God's answer to Solomon's prayer, gives us three life lessons that I want to look at. Verse 13 says, and God is answering Solomon, he's sound asleep after 8 days, 7 days, and then the 8th day festivities and celebrating and enjoying with it. And then so he's tired, just tired. He falls asleep, and God answers his prayer. It was that verse 13. If I have the drought, and if I have the locusts, and if I have the plagues, he talks where the people are, their soil, their sky, their bodies. That's where the people lived. They lived in the agricultural farming, in the soil, and the sky, the rain and no rain, drought, locusts eating their crops, and then the plagues in their bodies. And always in the Old Testament, drought, pestilence was a sign of broken covenant with God. And we look at that and God is saying, if my people who've broken the covenant will submit their will to me, verse 14, humble themselves, submit your will to me, I will then give them grace. Forgiveness, healing, and restoration. Back to God's people called by their name. Life lesson number one, verse 13. There are consequences to disobedience. Anyway, that's not usually presented from the pulpit or in church or something. Because we don't want to have God, you know, people be feeling bad about God because, you know, he's a vengeful God, he's a wrathful God, and the world has made that picture, be vengeful and wrathful. So that's not spoken of. But you know, here it is in God's answer to Solomon. There are consequences to disobedience. Well, we don't want to say that because they don't make God look like he's vengeful. Well, you know, when I was in camp, I went to elementary school. I think it was sixth grade. I went to camp in Southern California, San Bernardino Mountains. There we go. Yeah, and Camp Cedar Falls. And I went up there, and I went up, and we could climb San Gorgonio, Mount San Gorgonio. I signed up. It was 18 miles. I thought, 18 mile mountain. Where is that? 18 miles in the sky? And you know, it's 9 miles up and 9 miles down. But a sixth grader, it was a big hike. So I signed up and we went on it. And it was lovely. It was beautiful. It was out there. I had canteen. I had my backpack on. We didn't sleep over, you know, but I was just hiking out there. I mean, I was like a real hiker out there. I was so proud of the whole thing. And went with the kids and the teachers and we got up to the top, near the top. You know, the path got a little bit narrow. Because we had a little drop-off. I say a little bit. So at one point in San Bernardino Mountain, it drops 500 feet down to the cactus and the creek down below in the rocks. So the counselors would say, stay on the path. Stay on the path. You don't want to fall off that path. Because look down there. There's a lot of things that can hurt you. So stay on the path. Stay on the path. Don't get off the path. Because you could fall and hit those cactus or those rocks. Or that. So stay on the path. And we thought those counselors that told us were so nice and so kind and so loving because they asked us to stay on the path. That's what Jesus is saying. There's consequences to disobedience. Stay on the path because if you get off, you're going to fall and it's going to hurt. It's not a vengeful. It's not a wrathful. It's not a mean. There are consequences to disobedience because if we get off the path, we can fall and break ourselves up. Amen. We hurt ourselves. We can lose our salvation. Jesus is just being like those counselors, loving, kind, and helpful to us. There was a lesson number one. There are consequences to disobedience. And we need to look at our hearts right now, you and God, right together. Are we in a state of disobedience? Have we disobeyed the character of God, the love of God? And the answer is yes, yes, because we're human. We're human. And Ephesians 2:1 and Isaiah 1:5-6 tells us that we are shackled to sin. We're shackled up to Satan. 2 Timothy 2:26, our hearts are weak, our minds are weak. We're shackled up to sin and Satan. Nothing we can do unless we intentionally choose to stay on the path. Lesson number one, then, when there's consequences. If we're in those consequences, verse 13, the drought, the pestilence, the drought, the body, the plagues, our broken covenant with God, dear ones, let God heal us. Let God give us that grace, that surrender, that forgiveness, that healing, that restoration. How many of us, when you look into your heart, need healing? I can only put up two hands. I can put up everything. I need healing from my Lord Savior. He promises us grace. We surrender our will to Him. Surrender our will to Him. Life lesson number two. God does not want to destroy us. He wants to restore us. Dear ones, how many of us, when people do us wrong or we feel wronged or we feel criticized, we want to lash out with vengeance. God wants us to restore them. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. He wants to destroy and restore us back to His image. We can be His people, bring His family home. You know, I'm thinking of Testimonies to the Church, Volume 9, page 92 and 93. Mrs. White was having this vision of horrible destruction. Irving, this is out in Loma Linda, April 16, 1906. She's standing in the middle of Loma Linda. Remember in chapter 9, or volume 9, remember that one? 92, 93. And so all of a sudden, of destruction. And the angel would say, we have no idea of the wickedness in the world. And that was 1906. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Has the wickedness increased a little bit? No, I think a lot. But April 16, 1906, and she said, especially the wickedness in our cities. And there she stood, bless her heart, in the center of the city, the mecca of the Seventh-day Adventist movement in Southern California in 1906, right there, Loma Linda. The wickedness. And the angel that stood behind, beside Ellen said, and God has appointed a time to meet with the transgressors. And here's why. Here's the chilling part that always just creates a fear in my heart. Because of their persistent disregard for the law. Their persistent disregard for the law. Dear one, look in your heart today. I'm looking in mine. Are we disregarding God's mighty law? His Ten Commandments, His character, His love, His surrender. Are we surrendering to His will? Are we holding on to our will because we're shackled to sin? Are we holding on to our will because we want to do it ourselves? Are we holding on to our will because we can do it better than we want? We can do it better. We don't want anybody else to do it. Are we holding on to our will because we're prideful and that we don't want to share? We want to make our way. And are we holding on to our will? Dear ones, why are we holding on to our will? Give that will to God so we can fulfill His will in us. We can be His people. God does not want to destroy. He wants to restore. And then I keep reading. And dear ones, here's the part that is just so magnificent. Mrs. White, with all the destruction, she was shown the buildings shaking and cracked, windows shattering, fire and smoke, and people yelling and screaming, and unfortunately, people losing their life. The destruction of the cities, destruction of the streets, everything that was mayhem. It was a horrible scene she was being shown. And the angel beside her said, Ellen, keep watching. And so she kept hearing this thing, and it was horrible, the sound. And what impressed her the most was not all the mayhem and destruction, although that was horrible and made such a traumatic part of her heart. It was horrible to watch the buildings and resorts and hotels falling apart and crumbling to the ground, people screaming and yelling. I mean, it was horrible, the destruction, the plagues and the droughts and all that was happening to the land. Verse 13, 2 Chronicles 7. And this Testimonies to the Church, Volume 9, continues to say, but what impressed Mrs. White the most as she stood there in the city of Loma Linda, April 16, 1906, was God's message to His people. And it was this. Maybe there'll be at least one that would give their heart to me if we could restore them back and show them the law of God as love and not vengeance. Show them the law. Show them the wonder. Keep going. Show them. Don't condemn them. Don't criticize them. Don't show them the law, and maybe someone will accept the wonderful love that the law is. My love, my character. Keep showing them the law, and let them be moved by the Holy Spirit. Amongst all the mayhem, God was wanting to restore His people. Maybe there'll be one that can find that law in their life as wonderful. Maybe there's one that can see the light of me. Maybe there's one that the Holy Spirit can move in their heart. Don't give up. Don't give up. Share the gospel love of my law to people so that they can accept your truth. Or His truth, the truth. Let them accept the truth. Maybe there's one. And that stood out so much in Ellen's life. Not the fact that the buildings were horribly destroyed in the smoke and the fire and the screaming, although that was terrible and tragic. But it was God's desire to not destroy, but to restore. And dear one, if that's God's desire, may that be ours too? Maybe we want to restore and help and be encouraged and share the law with people so that they, maybe one, will accept that and be with God. God does not want to destroy us. Lesson number two. Our life, you know, God does not want to destroy us. He wants to restore us. May we want to restore others too. And doing the, because it's coming pretty hard. Friday afternoon, at a shopping center with all the Russian men, and someone runs into you with her buggy. I want to restore that person. God will be interested. But it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes intention. May God give us that model in our heart to not want to destroy, but want to restore.
Amen.
Life lesson number three I want to share from our Second Chronicles, tying into our series in Shreveport on James, chapter 7 or 4. You know, they submit your heart. Lesson number three is this. When we, and this is, so I just tingle all over when I say, I tell lesson number three. Lesson number three is this. When we surrender our heart to God, God fulfills His will in us. Philippians 2:13, you know, the do, will and the do, His good pleasure. Do you want, and this is it. Do you want, if we surrender our will to God, that governing nature of our whole, the governing power of our nature, our character, surrender that to God. You take my will. You take my choice. You take my decision. You take that power to decide. You take it. I want to give it to you. We do that. God then will fulfill His will in us. And His will is to make us holy.
Amen.
To make us holy. God's holiness. God's righteousness. His will is to make us walk in His way, which is holy. The sanctuary. Psalm 77:13. His way is in the sanctuary. His way is to guide His people, to develop His people into walking in His holiness, His righteousness, His people called by His name.
Amen.
I'm thinking of beautiful, beautiful steps to Christ. And I would love to do a study with my church family on chapter 5, consecration of that book. I just can't get enough of that chapter. Chapter 5, steps to Christ. And you know what? The last sentence in chapter 5, page 43, paragraph 1 in the original printing, is this. When you and me, when we surrender our will to God, God will then give us strength to hold steadfast. How are we going to make it through this end time with what Ellen saw in that vision, with everything destroying and Sunday law and the rifles and the guns and the death decree? How are we going to get through? But God will give us strength to hold steadfast. And dear ones, here comes this next part. This is end time promise right here. Page 48, chapter 3, paragraph 3, last one of that sentence, that chapter, here at the end time. We surrender our will to God. God will then give us strength to hold steadfast. Hold steadfast, dear one. Then stand firm. And then, dear one, hey, this is just too much. God gives us everything. When we continue in His strength to surrender our will to Him, we continue to surrender His will, our will to Him, continue through His strength in us, because we're holding fast. We continue, here it is, God will then enable us. I'm looking at James 4:7. Humble yourself and I will lift you up. God will enable you to lift you up to conform to His likeness. Lift you up to reflect His character. Lift you up to live in His righteousness. Lift you up to walk in His holiness. God will enable you, finally, to be His people. He and God be His God, and God has His family. We go home together, right? God will enable us. How are we going to get through these end times? God will enable us. He'll give us strength. He'll enable us to walk in His holiness. If we would surrender our will to Him, dear one, if we surrender our will to Him. Please, right now, let's ask God, dear God, I'm holding on to my will just because I'm shackled by sin, but I don't have to be. I can make an intentional choice to choose You, and You then, as I surrender my will give me strength to enable to walk in Your holiness. So, Father, I surrender my will to You. Can we do that today? Dear God, I surrender my will to You. Babe and I were picking up our little one from the kindergarten, and we were going up there, and we got a little bit late because we had to pick up our other little girl, 13-year-old, at the elementary school. So we had to make our way, and maybe she's one of the best drivers on earth, because she can make it through school pickup lines. Like, she's just so good. So she's made it through, but it was a little bit stressful. We might have just been a little bit late, and we got to the teacher. She was holding little Finley's hand, and she said, "We're sorry, we're late. We're sorry, we were a little late." She said, "Oh, don't worry. We're here, I'm here." And she looked at it and said, "I'll always be here." So it was very comforting and very sweet. But you know, I thought of Matthew 28:20. Lo, I'm with you always. Always, even until the end of the earth. You know, God promises if we surrender our will, he will never leave us. He'll be always be with us. By God's grace, his forgiveness, his healing, his restoration to his name, may we be his people.
Amen.
Through our surrender of our will. You know, and may we do that today, right now, together as a family. Surrender our will and let God enable us to walk in his holiness. You know, I was taking out the trash this last week. And my job is to get that trash down to the bottom of the hill. And we had it all down, the big buggy. We live on a gravel road and the little bit steep down going to it. Really steep for a wheelchair guy. going, and it's gravelly and you can't, you know, no traction. And I went down to put it, the last bag of the day, in the trash can. Your boy would come in the morning. So I opened it up, and as I opened it, my feet slipped off the footplate. I was on the hill in the gravel, and my brakes are not adjusted, so there's no brakes. And here I go. And I have the trash in my hand, the trash can up, and I was headed down the trash. And wouldn't you know, just as I start to slip down that hill, I see the headlights of a rumbling truck come up the gravel road. I thought, oh, you know, this could be bad. This might not be as good as I'm thinking. I threw the trash can. And fortunately, it went in. It went in the trash can, pushing all the debris down. And that truck was right there. And I was sleeping. My feet were off the footplate. There was no brakes. I was going down. And then the truck was getting really close. I felt the gravel and the bricks and the rocks and the sticks come up. And I was coming by. And all I could do was put my arm into the trash can and hug it tight. And my wheelchair slammed up against the trash can. And the truck went by, roaring by with gravel and sand and branches all over, but I was clinging to the trash can.
Wow.
And it missed me.
Praise the Lord.
It missed me.
Praise the Lord.
And I was there, and I hung on to that trash can for a while. I don't know what was in there, but I was hanging on to that trash can. I wasn't about to let go. I was holding on to that, and that truck went by. What happened? The gravel everywhere, and leaves and sticks, and I felt the heat of that. I felt like I could smell the paint. I don't know what it went by so close. We ran on that gravel road, and all the gravel. And I thought, boy, I'm hanging on to that. So I cut my arm out of there, and I made my way back up the hill. And as I was traveling along the driveway, thinking about what just happened, I thanked the Lord for providing a pillar of such to hang on to. To hang on in the time of storm. I thank God, dear God, thank you for that pillar. It was a trash can, but it held firm. And I grabbed hold of it, and it saved me. I wasn't squished.
Amen.
I was rolling back up, and I could come to Mount Pleasant to be with you all. I was holding on. I thought, but you know what? I'm thinking, I thank God, thank you for providing something wonderful to hold on to. And God has given us promises. He's given us his promises. If we surrender our will to him, I will strengthen you, hold you fast, enable you to walk in holiness. How am I going to make it through the end times? I have no idea. Yes, we do. We're going to surrender our will to God and let him strengthen us. Let him give us the power. Let him, let his holiness be in us. Let us live in his righteousness and walk in his holiness. May we surrender our will to him and hang on tight.
Yes. Amen.
And dear ones, this is a huge, huge response and call to our believers now. As Bible believers, prophecy reading, Sabbath keeping, Jesus coming back, going home, people, we're called now of all times to hang on tight to the promises that God gives, the pillar that God gives us to hang on to as the storm passes by. That big truck with all the rocks and gravel. As it passes by, you know, it will pass by. If we hang on to our Savior, he will give us the strength. He'll give us the strength to hold steadfast. He'll give us the strength and the power to enable us to walk in his righteousness, walk in his holiness. You know, we are called now with the strength in God to hold on, to make that intentional choice. I choose Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to follow Jesus. He knows the way. I know I'm going to follow my Savior. He knows the way. I'm going to hold on. The storm may roll around us, but if we're hanging on, God will give us the power to get through.
Yes.
Dear ones, I want to ask today, if we've let go of our Savior and his promises, if we've let go just a little bit, if we could tighten back up,
amen.
If we've let go completely with rebellion or defiance, may God give us the strength to back, hold back on. May we get back on the path today. Lesson number one, there's the consequences. The consequences to disobedience are simply, we're going to fall off the path. Dear ones, if you're off the path today, may the Lord help us get back on.
Yes.
And if we've let go of his promises and his wonderful love, if we've stopped surrendering our life to him, may we do that today together.
Amen.
Surrender our will to him so he can empower us to be his family. Because God is coming back for his family. He's coming back for his people that have allowed them to be holy in his name. He's coming back for people that are called by his name. He's coming back for you and me. As we cling to his love and to his law and to his promises.
Amen.
So we make a decision right now today. I'll make it with you. God bless us. God bless us. As we decide, I am going to hold on. I'm going to follow my Jesus and I'm going to hold on to his law and his promises because I choose Jesus.
Amen.
May we be his people. May we be his empowered people that live in his righteousness, may walk in his holiness. May we be today, as we surrender our will, Jesus coming back, going home, people.
Amen.
God bless us. God bless us. Yes. Pray with me. Yes. Pray with me. Oh, dear Father, thank you so much for the promise. If we give you our will, you will then enable us to get through the storm, to get through the difficulties. I know there's people are here today, dear ones today, that are going through storms, through the difficulties. Dear ones, you promised, and we claim that promise, that if we give our will to you in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our broken heart, in the midst of our storms, you will enable us to live in your holiness and your righteousness, and you will take us through the storm. So, Father, may we hold on tight. And give each person here today strength from above to be your people, your family, going home with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.